Hello?
Yes, Bill, Samantha here.
Oh, hi.
Okay, is the connection better now?
Yeah.
Okay, perfect. All right, so let's begin with the portal first. I have
Okay.
included you on the portal, and I see that you've already signed up. We will be, continuing all the deliveries in regards to the progress of the project, all of it on the messages section, okay? And you will be required to follow the same thread. So every time you have to drop me a message, you just go back to the messages section, click on the thread that exists already, and then you go at the bottom to the option where it says add reply, and I think I don't need to explain that to you because you have been managing that really well, okay? So let's skip that part.
I managed it once. Hopefully I
Right.
can do it again.
Well, yeah, it seems to me that you are like a pro, so I don't have to guide you in regards to that. You're managing it
Well,
really
it's
well.
just a different system. I mean, when in getting my book published, I had some people helping me, and you know, I guess every organization has a different way of
Different way. That's
communicating,
correct.
but.
That's correct. Okay, now let me start off with the most basic question. Bill, is it okay if I call you Bill?
Sure.
Okay. All right. So I need to know more about the book, and how did you end up writing the book?
Oh. Well, I was an army journalist in 1976, and so I guess this was like a long simmering idea in the back of my head, and I know the pandemic created a lot of hardship for people, but it actually created the first real opportunity I had to focus and write. And you know, I always, you know, was into writing, but and like I said, I was an army journalist at Fort Knox, Kentucky, and at Camp Zama, Japan, you know, in the mid-70s, and that was right, you know, after the end of Vietnam and Watergate, and it was a very tense time. Not too different, you know, in terms of issues and what we face today, but I didn't really want to write about today because I thought that would be very polarizing, and I had a sense, just my subjective sense back then was, even after all the anger and frustration and lack of faith in, you know, the institutions of the United States. Somehow the bicentennial, you know, that was celebrated, you know, all across the country, you know, sort of brought people back together. So I wanted to do something that was hopeful, but you know, the characters are all, you know, pretty much in their 20s. They act like 20-year-olds or 20-somethings, at least the way 20-somethings acted back, you know, in the mid-70s, which, you know, I don't know if it's romance or one night stands or combinations of that stuff. But so, you know, there's some element of that, but you know, I just thought it would be something that could appeal to people who, you know, we sort of need in terms of coming. The full title of the book is Bicentennial Trifecta, Patriots for the American Evolution. And you know, I see, you know, the United States is an evolving, you know, collective noun. That's what I wanted to stress. So.
Okay, so let me ask you this. Is that is a story a complete fiction, or is that based on your real life events?
Well, you know, it's fiction. It's supposed to be entertaining, but you know, the last 100 pages or so, you know, it's a 410-page novel, but the last 100 pages or so are about how the main character, you know, it starts with the Kentucky Derby in 1976. So he's at the Kentucky Derby. He's got a long-term girlfriend who didn't show up for the Derby. He meets somebody at the, you know, the day before the Derby. His buddy flies in from Virginia. He got stranded by his regular girlfriends, and he met somebody on the plane. So they sort of make do with who's around on you know, Kentucky Derby weekend.
Mm-hmm.
And it goes from there, and he gets the idea after the Kentucky Derby and the Preakness and the Belmont that he wants to be in Washington, D.C., Philadelphia, and New York all on July 4th, 1976. So.
Okay, all right. That seems interesting. I would.
Well, most novelists write about what they know anyway.
Right.
So, I mean, my wife read the book, and she goes, you know, it's like... It's just you. I said, no, it's not. It's really, it's composite characters,
mm-hmm.
You know, and you know, the buddy who flies in from Virginia is really like a combination of guys that I knew, you know, that in that era, you know, people that I went to see
sure.
with, people I went to Europe with, and then people that, you know, I knew, you know, in other ways.
I understand. The inspiration has to be driven from somewhere or the other, so that makes perfect
yeah.
sense.
Yeah, I mean, I wanted it, you know, not to be, you know, it's not intending to be some sort of science fiction thing. It's supposed to really
yeah.
reflect,
exactly.
but, you know. And,
it has
and,
to connect with the reality, too. I mean, it should sound real, at least. So,
right, and
yeah.
so, you know, I had a couple of Army buddies who I was stationed with at Fort Knox. They read it, and they thought that in terms of the dialogue, it was realistic in terms of, you know, how the people spoke, and so they enjoyed it. But now, you know, the trick is to get it beyond the people who I served
right,
with at Fort
right.
Knox, who were on the newspaper staff, and we did have a Zoom call on Monday night and got reacquainted. Some of the people really hadn't been in touch with one another for quite some time, but
mm-hmm.
Yeah, they all get it, they all understand it, and I think that feature of, you know, the Patriots for the American Revolution,
mm-hmm.
these are all people who have evolved, you know, over the last few decades. So
exactly.
so every, you know, everybody sort of gets, I mean, even though it's a novel and entertaining,
mm-hmm.
I mean, there is a point to it, I think.
Absolutely. I completely understand that. And one more thing, Bill, this is an achievement. I mean, this is your actual target audience. And if they can connect and understand the story, the transition of the story, the concept overall, and they enjoyed it, I mean, that's an achievement, okay? So that's the first step. Now, in regards to that, I would like to know more about what kind of editing you're looking for on the manuscript, or if the manuscript completely finalized.
Yeah, the manuscript is completely finalized. You know, as far as, you know, it's published. It's, you know, it's on, you know, Amazon Books. I sent it to there's a university press at the University of Kentucky. They looked at it, they liked it, but they didn't really think it fit. And, you know, I can understand probably. I mean, it's not really flattering to people of Kentucky,
okay.
but it's more about an experience of somebody who, you know, graduated, you know,
right.
NYU in Manhattan and ended up in the Army because of the recession in 74. And you know, it's his first chance to really, you know, be in Louisville, Kentucky, and Nashville, and, you know, places that, you know, he sort of flew over before in life.
Right. I completely understand. So you mentioned that your book is already published on Amazon.
Yeah.
Can you confirm if you went with your own name, or did you use a pen name?
I used a pen name. It's William abbreviated, WM. Middle initial G Holst. So if you go onto Amazon, my full name's not going to get you there. But you can also find it from just the title from Bicentennial Trifecta.
Okay. Can you repeat the title for me? Let me go ahead and take a look.
Okay. It's Bicentennial, and then Trifecta.
Trifecta.
Yeah, trifecta.
Okay.
See it?
Nope.
No?
When you go to the book section, it should come up. Okay. I do not see it on Amazon. I'm getting a book by book one of three. That is Jim Beard, The Proximity Factor. That's not what we are looking for.
No, it's
Acadian.
It's let me. You want me to spell it out again?
Yeah.
It's BICEN TENNIAL Bicentennial, and then trifecta TRIFECTA. We'll go on to.
Okay, I think I have something here.
Got it.
And I see that you have paperback, hardcover, and Kindle version available. That is good. Why not an audiobook?
I had a conversation, you know, with Jane Foster, who you know, on behalf of Penguin Book Writers, called me, I guess, two or three times, and I just said, I think, you know, as far as the audiobook, from what I understand, it's pretty expensive to produce, so. I know a lot of people listen to audiobooks, and this would probably be a good audiobook, but as far as, you know, my thinking, you know, I would probably be looking to have not just one voice do it, but probably a male voice and a female voice.
Oh, if you're planning to go that way, then it's going to be way lot more expensive because on an average, if we are looking at a book that is in between, you mentioned the page count was somewhere around 400 pages, right?
Yeah, I think 410 or something.
Right. Now, 455, actually, I see that here. 455 pages. Okay.
Oh, well, that's if you throw in everything else. It's more than that. But
okay.
But I mean, I'm skipping the table of contents.
Gotcha. So you can say roughly your book, just the content of it would be of 400 pages.
410 pages.
Gotcha. Okay. If you're looking at a book that large. And if you are planning to go with just one voice, which is usually how the audiobooks are done, that only itself will cost you somewhere around $6,000 to $7,000, all right?
Yeah.
Now, if you look for multiple voices, that would be double the cost. So I don't think that would be a good option. However, you should consider taking up the audiobook because there is a huge scope for that. I haven't seen the hardcover or the paperback sell more as compared to audiobooks because right now in this era, people are more prone to go for audiobooks as compared to the, you know, the printed versions. So
yeah, I have you know, brother-in-laws that I think all three of them say that they regularly listen to audiobooks.
Yes, yes. Most of my friends, they listen to audiobooks, and I myself too. I mean, when I'm driving.
But what do you think about doing it all in one voice? Doesn't that sort of take something away in terms of understanding who's speaking? Or?
No, I don't think so. I mean, a lot of books are done that way. You know, audiobook has a certain format, just like how Kindle and paperback versions, they have this standard format, right? A publishing criteria, you can say. That's how audiobook works, too. It doesn't have to have multiple voices. People already have the impression that, okay, right, the audiobook is for us to listen. It's not to create any dramatic effects. It's just for them,
okay.
It's just for their convenience to, you know, just because they cannot read the book at that particular time, maybe they are multitasking or whatsoever the reason is.
Well, I think a lot of them drive in their car. They listen to it when they drive their
car. Exactly. That's what I do, to and from work. So that's basically the point. So you should really consider that. Now, let me ask you one more question. Since the book is published, I believe we don't have to go through the editing, formatting, or publication phase. We will jump directly to Amazon marketing, correct?
Yep, that's what I asked Jen Jane to do, just focus everything on the Amazon marketing. I mean, she also mentioned Barnes and Noble, but I don't really know what you can do. I mean, that's all, you know, up to Barnes and Noble, right?
Yes, I was coming to that. Now, see, in our industry or in our market, there are three giants. Number one is Amazon, the second one is Barnes & Noble, the third one is Ingram Sparks. Now, that's going to be my
next... Well, the book is also available through Ingram Sparks.
Okay, perfect. So you have done the worldwide publication.
Yep.
Oh, that is great. Now, this is...
I have bookstores in Australia. I have bookstores in the U.K., you know, there's an English language bookstore in Paris. I checked their listings. I'm on their listings. So I'm in a lot of places. It's just that I haven't really done much in the way of sales.
Gotcha. All right. Now that makes sense, because usually when you know, customers come to us for marketing, we first of all focus on the formats, the number of formats that are available. That's the reason why I spoke to you about the audiobook, because that just opens up an entire new market, right? And then the next thing that we focus on is the expansion of your book, the availability of your book, because when we run the campaign, we do worldwide, okay? The campaign runs worldwide now, international campaign. In that scenario, your book has to be available in every country, all right, or most of them, you can say, for that matter. And Ingram Sparks offers exactly the same. They offer like 400-plus platforms, which includes 51 online platforms exclusively, and then the rest are libraries, media stores, and bookstores, media outlets, yes.
So, the book's also available, I think, in Walmart.
right. Okay, that is good.
I mean, I don't shop in Walmart, so I can't say that I ever saw my book in Walmart, but, you know.
I get your point. All right. So I see that you have actually covered pretty much. I mean, you're on the right track, because
I paid people to get me this far, you know, and I was just hoping that, you know, there'd be more activity in terms of sales during the last year, because
How was that? How are the sales like?
Well, I just got something to one of my bank accounts from Amazon. It was between $2 and $3. I forget the exact amount. So,
oh my gosh! Okay.
That was not driving me to write the sequel to the book. That's for sure.
Why is your Kindle version and the hardcover version priced so low?
I don't know. I think Amazon likes the book, and they're you know, trying to get people to read it. But so far it hasn't really taken off. But Amazon supposedly is supposed to pay me whatever I get, no matter how much they lower the price. So I don't know why they're lowering the price, other than to try to get more people to read it.
Yes, that's not how it's supposed to be. You're the one who should be setting up the price. Now, ideally, what we recommend our customers in terms of pricing, it's that in order to get 70% of the royalties on Kindle version, you're supposed to price your book for less than $10. So ideally, the pricing for paperback that is there, it's $9.99. We put that for Kindle version, okay? So your Kindle version is supposed to be $9.99, and then as compared to the Kindle version, paperback is supposed to be somewhere in between $10 to $15. Let's say $12.99. All right?
That's how it started out, but when I go online, I see that you're right. It's the same, the Kindle version and all the other versions.
Hardcover. I'm surprised that the hardcover is going for almost the same price as Kindle version. That's not right. Hardcover is supposed to be more than paperback, because it's a good quality book. Hardback, that goes for more than paperback. So ideally, we say hardcover can go for somewhere around $19, $20, or maybe $21 too.
I've seen it like $20, $24, you know, $25, and, you know, on different sites. But Yeah, it's I don't know why Amazon is taking it so low, but
can you check that out for me? I mean, if
okay.
you can go into your account, see if you can reprice it, change the price for something closer to what I have just shared with you, that would be great,
okay.
because this is really low, really low. This won't work.
Yeah. Well, I didn't write the book to make money. I mean, I wrote the book so that I could turn it into a movie or a you know, TV series, because I think...
Oh, you're interested in that?
What?
You're interested in having your book turn into a movie?
Yeah, I mean, you know, the TV show MASH. Have you ever watched MASH?
No,
I mean,
haven't.
You know,
what is it about?
It's about doctors during the Korean War.
Okay.
It was on television back in the you know, late 60s and 70s for years and years. And
mm-hmm.
you know, what I see my book doing is sort of giving people a more modern version of what life in the military is like
mm-hmm.
than, you know, what was in MASH, and that was during a war. My book is clearly not about a war.
Gotcha, gotcha. If that is your plan or your long-term vision, then we can certainly help you out with that, because yearly we
okay.
actually submit manuscripts to the Hollywood producers and directors. We have certain contracts with them through which they take yearly stories, screenplays, novels from us, and then they tell us which books are potentially, acceptable in terms of having that converted into a movie or maybe a series. We have a separate contract with Netflix, so they also approach us. So as soon as we get the next slot open, I will discuss this in detail with you, okay?
Okay.
All right, that sounds good.
So when you say, that's a pitching session that you can pitch it to these people, or?
Oh, yes. Well, we have a certain contract with them, and I'm not exactly sure of the complete contract, but as far as I know, they take at least 20 to 25 manuscripts from us yearly, all right? And
okay.
out of the 20 to 25, like, for example, we submit 15 per year to Netflix, and we submit 18 to the Hollywood producers and directors that approach us.
Okay.
Now, out of the 18, we get 10 shortlisted, and 5 of them are, like, you know, confirmed. So then we bring the author in.
I think that's green lighted, right?
Exactly. So that's how it works. And now when it comes to the Netflix series, we have more marginal scope of having the acceptance rate there, okay? So let's say if we are submitting 10 manuscripts to them, out of 10, 6 of them usually gets approved. So and with Netflix, it is much more easier as compared to, you know, going all high budgeted and, you know, turning it into a movie, because that is a huge plan. It takes a lot of planning in terms of executing that, and that just turns into a project which would continue for like 3 to 4 years. It can take up to 5 years too. Netflix.
No, I don't have any car chases in my novel. I don't have any explosions that blow buildings up.
Right.
I mean, I see some of these movies where, you know, they replicate, a scene in World War II with, you know, in North Africa. And, you know, you look at that and you're like...
You make it a blockbuster. Yeah.
Yeah, you make it a blockbuster. But this movie, I think, could be done at a very reasonable amount, and a TV series that could be a reasonable amount. And it doesn't require, you know, anything, you know, crazy in the way of cars smashing up or anything.
The way the story flows, as far as I can see from the description and what you told me, I think it would be perfect for a Netflix series, a short season. And maybe, just maybe, if that works out, you can plan on launching the next versions of it. I mean, why aren't you converting this into a series, maybe like a 3-book series or, you know, on continuation?
Well, what I have in my head is a prequel chapter. I mean, this is the book
mm-hmm.
now is 13 chapters.
Mm-hmm.
I have pretty much the outline for writing the prequel, which starts at New Year's Eve. So the book right now starts with the Kentucky Derby, you know, in May of 1976.
Okay.
So the prequel would be New Year's Eve, like good riddance to 1975, which is a terrible year for a lot of people and a lot of things, and you know, welcome the bicentennial year. So that would be the, you know, a chapter that I could probably write, you know, within a couple of weeks about, and that feeds into the rest of the novel. So that I mean, if they ever wanted to do a pilot, I wouldn't want to start it off with chapter one. I'd really want to do like the prequel for it, which contains elements of what's referred to, you know, in the 13 chapters. You know.
And then the second book,
the sequel is the main character, you know, goes to Washington, Philadelphia, and New York, and but he's already got orders to go to Japan, and he goes to Japan, and the next novel is set in Japan.
Okay, all right.
Where I was also stationed. So Japan then was very much in everyone's mind because of James Cavell's book, Shogun. I don't know if you ever read Shogun, but when I got to Japan, everybody at Camp Zama was reading Shogun, and everybody in the United States was reading Shogun. So it was a very
popular.
You know, that, yeah, it was a very, it caught everybody's imagination, and they ended up doing it. I think it was like a three or four episode, you know, like television series, and I think it was like shown like you know, like one night, you know, one week, and then, you know, the following week. I think so. It was like 3 or 4 weeks of based on Clavel's novel.
Right. Gotcha. Okay. All right, that makes sense. I believe we have discussed a lot of it, and I am actually, well, this is a potential book. I mean, you should have considered turning this book into a bestseller. Have you ever considered submitting a book for New York Times bestseller? Have it nominated?
The New York Times will only really look at books from Simon & Schuster and, you know, the Big Four. I read the best Times every weekend, and that's certainly what it seems to me is they're basically keeping, you know, the people with you know, independent. I mean, I had to have a publisher listed, so I put it under Trifecta Press. You may see that from Amazon. But you know, people tell me that, you know, when authors do their own little publishing companies, they typically don't get too far with the New York Times.
Okay, well, this is just a misconception. It's not true.
But yeah, my view is not just a bestseller. I mean, I think in my own head, this is the great American novel. This is in my head. Makes more sense in terms of have as a great American novel than some of the things like, you know, people refer to as the great American novel.
Right. I understand where you're coming from. All right.
It's about the United States during the bicentennial year. I mean, what could be more, you know?
Exactly. That's why I'm saying it's fascinating to know about that era. And I think we should begin with, okay, back to the topic, Amazon marketing. I mean, we've discussed everything apart from what we are actually doing for you. Sorry about that.
Yeah, the focus is Amazon marketing, and hopefully that leads to some you know, Netflix or somebody saying, hey, this could work, you know, in terms of multi, you know, episode series or something.
Okay, all right. If that's what you are aiming for, let me be really honest with you. Amazon marketing itself, it's not going to lead you to that particular point.
Although Amazon has produced at least one film that I really enjoy, with a lot of character, a lot of actors who are actually well-known actors.
Okay.
Daniel Craig, who now plays James Bond, he's in this movie, Logan Lucky, and it's an Amazon movie, and it's as good a movie as any that get produced by the movie studios.
Mm-hmm. Right, I have heard about Logan Lucky. I guess it was launched in 2017, 16, I guess, somewhere around that.
No, I think it's more recent than that. I think it's like 2020 or, I don't know, maybe 2019. But Daniel Craig plays this guy with a southern accent, and that makes me laugh. So
right, Daniel Craig is a good actor.
Yeah.
Okay, so as I was saying,
so Amazon may be more into doing stuff and competing with Netflix and Paramount. They seem to be, trying to get out of the last place status and move ahead. And I used to be an attorney for CBS, so I'm trying to get some inside information from Paramount and some of the projects they're involved in, but nothing so far.
Yeah, well, you're not going to find that. And one more thing, Amazon, it does not just randomly pick any book. They will only pick from the best. That's why I said that your book needs to be a bestseller there. Once it's in the best-selling list, then maybe we can consider the fact that they might, consider your book. Because
Right. It would give me more leverage if I had some good, reports in terms of, book sales.
Exactly. You got that. All right, now back to our topic. The next thing that I need you to do, William, is that send me the manuscript of the book by the same procedure. You go back to the thread, add reply, and you're going to see an option at the bottom for attach a file. Send me the manuscript and the book cover. The first thing that I'll be sharing with you will be a report in terms of the target audience that we will be, focusing on. And I might as well need your Amazon credentials, because we will have to log into your account and work on the back end, in terms of having the marketing enabled. So that may be what will be required from the team. But I will confirm that in the next call whenever we speak, okay? Because I have to have a detailed conversation with them first as soon as I get your manuscript and the book cover. Sounds good?
Okay. Well, can you see the book cover from online? Or I don't know if the book cover is going to come through. I'll try to see what I can do.
If you have a copy of it, that would be great. We can see it online.
I can send you the book. I mean, I've got plenty of copies to send.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, send me whatever you have, and I'll see if anything is missing. For example, the book cover. I'll see if we can work around that. Okay.
Okay. All right. I'll do the best I can on the cover, but I've been able to send the manuscript, the final manuscript to the University of Kentucky with some help, actually. The book cover I have, I think it's set up so that the cover. I also have a website.
Okay.
Does that help? Maybe you can get it off the website. I don't know, but it's bicentennialtrifecta.com.
Okay, let me try that. Centennial. Trifecta.com. Let's see. Okay, I got your website and... Okay, I can try to get the cover from here. All right, then just send me the manuscript. I'll try to, pick it up from here. If it doesn't work, then I'll let you know.
Okay, and then I'll try to go back through and for some reason, I have. They also did. They did the front. They did the back, and then they also did the spine. So
mm-hmm.
it gets a little tricky when I try to send it.
So didn't they send you a complete cover with the back and the front along with the spine
yeah.
all together?
Yeah, they did.
Yeah, well then send me that. If you have a
yeah, I got it. You know, we did it all through Google, you know, and so I have to reacquaint myself. It's been you know, a year or a little bit more than a year, but it's there, or it's in my laptop. I'll get to it when I can. Are you still there? Hello?
Hello?
Hello, are you still there?
Yeah, I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you now.
Okay. Yeah.
All right, so I'll get you what I can, and then we can... You want to tentatively set up the next call with the group, or what do you want to do?
Well, yeah, we can do that. I would like to introduce you with the senior marketing strategist so we can have a
okay.
conference the next time we talk. Once you submit the manuscript, now since we have Thanksgiving coming up as well, so that's going to be another thing, submit the manuscript and then I'll drop you a message on the portal in regards to the conference call. Okay?
Okay.
All right. That sounds like a plan.
And you think that's what, like middle of next week or when?
Yeah, we can say sometime next week.
Okay.
Okay?
Very
so,
good.
So I'm not going to confirm that unless you provide your availability. So don't worry about that. I will make sure to confirm that from your end first, and then I will set it up.
Okay?
Okay?
Generally, though, you know, let's see. What is it there?
Okay.
All right, so let's see how things go. Let's see if we can put together a call with the senior marketing person for next week. If not, we'll kick it over to the following week.
Yeah, that's completely fine. Not a problem with me. All right, so Bill, I'm going to let you go now. And
yeah, the only thing is I'd like to do is I'd like to have something on Amazon, like around before Christmas, because a lot of people are like looking for books. For their, their fathers and grandfathers,
yes.
and if their fathers and grandfathers have served in the military, it's
mm-hmm.
it's the type of book that maybe would be appealing, and
it's a typical gift. Yes, I understand.
Yeah, like a typical gift, and there are millions of veterans in the United States, and that's probably a good target audience.
Exactly. I mean, the customers that we get, the authors that we have, I mean, 1 or 2 out of 10 people, they are veterans or, retired Army, Navals, or somewhere, they have some sort of background with that. So I think your book has a huge scope. Now, having said that, I'm going to leave
but
you...
It's not a traditional, battle or whatever,
yep.
Type of book, it's...
Yeah, I understand. It is a
it's less less blood than the average Nelson DeMille novel, I think.
Yes, absolutely. That's the reason why I said that people it would be refreshing for people to read this book, So that's the kind of approach we need to take. And as I said, you submit the manuscript to me. We will reschedule a call, and we will discuss the next plan of action on that conference call. Sounds good?
Okay. Let me wish you a happy Thanksgiving and talk to you soon.
I was going to wish you that. All right. Happy Thanksgiving.
Okay.
Well, you enjoy yourself with your family, and I shall stay in touch. And just in case if you have any issues, you have my cell number. Drop me a text or call me, okay?
Okay. Very good.
All right. Thank you so much.
I'll try sending it through the portal. If I have a problem, I'll let you know. And maybe you can give me an email, and it's probably
of course.
Easier to just email it. All right.
Yeah, well,
thanks.
By the way, are you having any difficulties using the portal? Because I can give you my email.
No, I only tried it once, and you got my reply. So I guess
exactly. So
far so good.
Well, you're doing way better
but sometimes
than the customers.
I am not very good at cutting and pasting and stuff. I couldn't even send the, you know, I mentioned that I had a Zoom call with my fellow veterans from the turret office at Fort Knox on Monday night, and I just had to send them the message, the code for the meeting, and then the password.
Mm-hmm.
Somehow I couldn't cut and paste the link, so.
Oh, that's fine. It happens. I mess up a lot of times, and trust me, I'm working for a book writing company. I'm supposed to know everything, you know, everything there is in this world. But, of course, we are humans, so it's completely fine.
Yeah,
and
you know,
something. You are doing a whole lot better than the rest of our customers. A lot of people cannot even log in, and sometimes they can't even find the messages, so that's another thing.
Well,
so,
my problem was I'd gotten an upgraded iPhone, and I couldn't really see, you know, I wasn't really picking up on the fact that, you know, you were trying to communicate with me because it went to some sort of like weird, you know, section. It's a silent call or something, and I didn't know what that meant. So.
Oh, iPhones have very complicated features. That's the reason why I haven't upgraded to an iPhone. Do you know that? I'm still using an Android.
I was using you know a 6 you know until a few weeks ago, and then I got the 13 Pro, so I'm still learning the 13 Pro. But the good news is my son and daughter-in-law are flying in from California tomorrow morning, and I expect that my son's going to give me a tutorial on the my new iPhone. So hopefully I'll be a little bit more capable the next time we talk.
Oh, well, of course. You enjoy the phone, learn the new features, tell me how it went, because I will also, based on your feedback, I will, you know, reconsider having my phone changed or something.
Well,
right.
The iPhone 13 Pro takes great pictures. That's the one thing I can tell you.
Oh, yes.
It takes
I know
great
that
pictures.
For sure. Yeah, I use my friend's phone for that. I mean, they become like, you know, my own photographers, but having to personally deal with that, no, not yet. All right.
All right. Have
okay.
Bye-bye. Thanks.
All right. You take good care of yourself. Take care. Bye-bye. Mm-hmm.